You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Well, hi, everybody, and welcome back. This is Glenda Geek, founder of the Horse Radio Network and host of Horses in the Morning, the daily podcast for the last 15 years. Welcome to the WESA Retail Roundup. The Retail Roundup is your go-to virtual hub for all things retail. Join panel discussions, learn from webinars, share your thoughts, talk to each other. We encourage that. And you do that by going to our Facebook group. Just search for Retail Roundup on Facebook and join the group over there to have conversations about what's going on in the wholesale and retail world in the horse world. Today's session in this Retail Roundup, we're discussing displays that make saddles, pads, and more fly off the shelves, especially when you don't have much space to begin with. And I don't know about you guys, when we had our tack shop, it was tiny. It wasn't great big, huge space. So you're always looking for better ways to utilize your space. Our guest is Megan Robinette of Mackey USA, and she's a WESA seasoned exhibitor known for blending fashion-forward tech with equine essentials. And I apologize for my voice. I was on vacation last week, and apparently I talked too much. So, Megan, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us about Mackey USA. For those that don't know, what do you guys sell? What do you have?
Well, I'm a manufacturer. And I started Mackey USA almost 8 years ago because I had a horse and I frankly didn't like the product. I didn't care for the quality. And I liked a little fashion. And a friend of mine owned a large horse cookie company that I won't name. And we used to walk our horses around the property. And I was a manufacturer for several factories overseas and sold a lot of the majors in the United States. So I knew how to make product and how to work with designers. And so she and I would be stomping around on rainy days walking our horses. And she said, why don't you do a line of equestrian? I was like, that's going to take a lot of money. I hadn't thought through that's also a really big product. It's large physically, takes a lot of storage, a lot to house. She was making cookies, so that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, horse blankets, a little different deal.
It's a little larger. So she said, what would you do if you did it on our next walk? And I said, you know, I have a vision. I've always wanted bee prints on some horse stuff. And I'd like something that looked a little, there's a company called Anthropology, and they're a company that is known in women's apparel for mixing and matching of prints and fabrics. And I said, I want something like that for horses. And I also want something in black and white because I came from like the couture area in apparel at one point. And you wore black or white every day of your life. And so I thought, I would like something like that. And she goes, what's your packaging? Because she's very linear. What's your packaging going to be? And I said, well, I want it to look like a See's candy box, but I want it to be in a green and white with like an awning. And she had a gift room. She came back the next day and she mocked up this little box for me. And I was like, now I have to do it. She mocked up a box, right?
She took her time to help me.
Yeah. She's really pushing me along this. And I had done some things for her, so she knew that I could probably do this. So that's how I started. So I started doing my research about every brand. I had to decide what I was going to do. And I decided I'm going to do fly masks and fly boots because it was probably summer. That's probably the only reason I decided. I bought every brand known to mankind. And I was like, ooh, I don't like that. Or I don't like this. Oh, I do like that idea. So I went through and one of my designers from all the factories I worked for was at Loose Ends. And I said, would you like to do something with me? And she said, yes. Now she was not a horse person. So her first shot at doing designs, I remember one of them, it looked like it was made for motocross. They looked like they had flames. And I said, no, that's not equestrian. we don't do flames on horses' faces. And so we started over and I had to give her something called tear sheets, which I was familiar with all my designers and my big companies where you stimulate them. You take your magazines and you rip them all out or you send them pictures and you say, I want it to be this with that. And you make little drawings for them. And so I had a bee line. It's called Bee Mine. And I had something called Modern Vintage, which was a mixing of patterns. And I did a black and white group. very small and neat and tidy, and added a few things. And the first time I went out, everybody was like, oh my gosh, equestrian people are so funny. This is like the Louis Vuitton. Of course. And I was like, I'm enchanted. I'm designer. But I really, my goal was to be, I wanted to be the target of this industry. I didn't want to be Neiman Marcus and I didn't want to be Walmart. I wanted to be Target, which I had worked for Target Source and Services.
And they've done pretty well.
And yeah. You know what their shtick is? And this is what we were trained as product managers there. They are about quality and fashion. They have their fingers on fashion because they have designers, but they're really about their quality and about a really good price. And that's who I wanted to represent. I was never wanting to be fancy. I wanted to be known for my quality and for how I executed the product and that everything made sense. There was a purpose for it. So that's how Mackie got started. It's grown over the last 8 years. I do a lot more than fly masks and fly boots now. I'm doing everything from blanket bags to rain sheets to apparel. I introduced women's pajamas in because they loved my prints and onesies, baby onesies. I do bags. I do a lot, but I always make sure that there's a purpose for it. I always wear test everything. A lot of samples go out to a lot of horses and humans to test because this is my money and I have to I'm a gambler, basically. I have to decide this is working and I refine it and then I produce it and then I start selling it and getting it out there. So, well, and I appreciate the feedback.
And yours are, obviously your lines are very color and design oriented. That ties into what we're going to talk about today for the stores. Let's start with this. I mentioned small storefronts, right? A lot of us had or have small storefronts. So what's your formula for a window? You may only have one window in your small storefront.
Right.
What catches people's attention? What stops people to take a look at it? What do you find with windows in particular, especially in our world?
Well, I grew up in retail. You know, I started out, I was recruited. I was an assistant buyer. They made you be on the floor. I was a buyer, and then I was a merchandise manager and a VP. So I grew up in mostly the apparel and home industry, and I didn't know how to do a display or a window or anything else. Now that I am a manufacturer and a wholesaler, I don't have the opportunity to do a lot of windows. But what I try and do for my clients is one of the reasons at WESA I spend so much time, more than probably any other vendor there. And Sophia can attest to this because I'm there, you know, probably 10, 12 hours setting that booth up.
She did say that.
Yeah, I'm there. And my team is there with me and they're merchants. They may not have come from the horsey world, but they're merchants. Because my goal, first of all, when I manufacture a collection, or I add anything to my company, an item, I make sure that it has a purpose and there's a reason and that it's going to be involved in a collection. Because collections, even though you may just need items out of the collection, it's going to make it easier to merchandise it. So when I come to WESA or WESA, I have
I say it both ways. So I you're do good. Too.
I know. I go through and I make displays because my goal, and this is something that I've worked on with some of the other vendors at the show, because I'll say my goal is to show people how to merchandise my product. Because if they buy it and they just throw it out there, it's not going to sell. And then they're going to call me and say, oh, sorry, your stuff didn't sell. Now, when I started 8 years ago, my product was a little shocking, frankly, because I do prints. I'm known as a print house. They're all exclusive to Mackie. And they may not be for everybody. And I tell everybody that it may not be for you. But I have a vision and it's prints. And you can mix and match it with some solid pieces and some other prints. So when you look at a window, for example, if you buy the line correctly, and I never tell you can buy anything you want in my line, it'll hopefully all coordinate. When I think of a window, I think it's got to be eye-catching. It's got to be really precise. and it's got to tell a strong story, whatever that's going to be. So let's just use the Be Mine collection as an example. I probably would put a backpack in there and a couple of other pieces from Mackie. But I also would use props. Like one of the things that I do is there's a guy that makes signs at WESA. I bought signs one year and it said Be Crossing and they were yellow and bright. Or I don't remember some of the signs, but I would buy a couple of them and I stick those on the fixtures. And then one of the things I had this idea, it needs some light. And, you know, windows need light because
they
tend to be
dark. Yeah, they do. A lot of them are dark. Yeah.
They're dark, right? So I went on some website and I found that you can buy all these strings of lights and I found bees. And so you just put, you can have them blinking. They can be solid and you just use a little battery in there. And so I started doing that at the show and I put them around my corners and the ladies were coming. They're like, oh my God, your display is so cute. We'd love this for our window. And I said, you got to get these bees. This is where you get them. Go buy some signage. Go see that guy. And so that I feel like they get it. Those ladies are getting it. So for me, have a point of view. Don't do too much. And it doesn't have to be lights or signs. It could be some of the most beautiful displays I've seen in windows. They'll have foliage. You know, we are equestrians. So it should be
have some outdoors in it.
greenery, something, yeah. Right? So it could be in the fall, maybe you do autumn colors and you do it in a big bucket. You know, it should have something and keep it clean. I do a lot of small items, but in my displays, I tend to do them on their own or as an accessory piece on an item. Because if you try and put it all together, it just gets messy and nobody can really see the one item. So that's my advice on a window. Keep it clean, keep it tidy, tell a story, use props. And the other thing is elevate. Do different elevations in it, whether it's a stool that you put in there, a charming little table, not a lot of pieces.
Yeah. Yeah,
something.
A saddle. Yeah, something.
Something so that you've got some different elevations. Because if it all goes straight across, and I remember I had a display guy when I worked for the couture company, and they were very fussy about that. You just don't, your eye wants to look around, you know, and you can put more in there if you do that too.
Well, and that's what catches attention too.
It does.
Straight across doesn't catch attention.
It doesn't catch. No. And use different props. Use some equestrian magazines. Put a stack of those. Some equestrian, you know, cheaply you can do this. You know you go to an old used bookstore and there's a lot of equestrian old books in there. Buy some of those, put them on a stool and build it up and then put your item, whatever it is, on top of that to give it some textural interest. And one of the other things I saw, one of the nicest displays I saw on Facebook, and that's kind of like a window when you see a Facebook picture. Mm-hmm. She had made it all autumn colors and they weren't all the same vendors. But it was all, it had a point of view. It was all autumn colors. So everything was in a yellow or an orange, and it was charming. The other thing about window displays, and this is where people get lazy. If you ever go to a tack and feed store and you go 3 months later and it's the same display, that's not good. One of the things I learned in merchandising 101 that, front displays and your front fixtures that are the entree into your stores. Now, some fashion houses, they change them out every week. I don't think an attack and feed store, we need to do that. We're not quite there.
Yeah, but and our people aren't coming in that often. Once a month, yeah. I always thought.
I think once a month, but in apparel, it's very fast. It's really quick. So you did need to change those fixtures and your displays once a week. You had to because they're in their shopping a lot.
Right, right.
And especially when it's high ticket items. And to be honest, equestrian stuff is expensive. Equine is expensive.
I can see that for a place like Target where, especially if they're grocery shopping there, they are coming once a week, right?
They are.
Yeah.
So you change it up. And, you know, in an attack and feed store, like I visit one of my local that has like six stores and I know they just hate it. They loathe it when I walk in. I just know they do. They all say, oh, hi, Megan. But I'm like, I know. And I'm like, I'm going to go check. And I'm like, you need to change this display up. It's not good. It's empty. And it's an end cap. Actually, the store manager is really good. She appreciates it because she gets so entrenched in her business that she didn't see. She goes, oh, I know.
You're in the store every day. You're not seeing it anymore. You're just not even seeing it.
No. So it gets pulled through.
Let's take that now and go to the next step. And what have you found that your stores, obviously selling bundles is better than selling one thing, right? If especially in lines like yours where your colors go through the 50 different SKUs you have,
right?
From saddle pads to, bags to whatever, right? Blankets, mm-hmm. sheets, whatever it is, fly masks. How have they found it effective to be able to sell more than one of that, the B pattern or any of the other patterns? What are they doing to sell bundles of it?
Well, there's two different thoughts.
Whether it's online or in the store, this is goes for both of those.
It does. Yeah. But there are two different thoughts. I have some stores that they like to merchandise by classification. So hay bags, for example. It doesn't matter what vendor it is or at what price point. They will merchandise all hay bags,
all the bags together.
I don't, I personally don't like to shop that way. I'm not that kind of a shopper. I'll be honest, Nordstrom's used to shop. You used to go into Nordstrom's, which are very nice stores, but I don't like seeing like everything on a rounder. So they had all their pants all in a rounder. I'm not that shopper where I want to dig through and find what I'm looking for. I like things by color, and it can be by different brands, but they need to be similar. But a lot of stores do very well by classification. I like merchandising by a collection, and it doesn't even matter if it's the same vendor. You might have similarities in, like my bees. There may be something from another vendor that matches that or coordinates with it. They have a lot of black, for example. I don't do a lot of solid black. They merchandise it together. So to me, that's how you bundle it. I'm not a commodity person. I'm not the, a friend of mine, I said, you're like a commodities broker. And he is. His pricing has to be like, he's a wheeler dealer over there. I don't wheel and deal. All of mine is the same price every day for everybody. But that is a business. And how do you get somebody that's going to buy an expensive boot helmet bag from me at $150 and buy other things? Well, I always tell the stores, why aren't you utilizing some of my pockets? Why aren't you putting like a hoof pick on mine? And a scraper in it, and a bat, use that, make a display on that, because odds are, especially at gift giving time, which we're getting towards that, the displays are really important. That if you're going to sell a bag in one of your displays, not every bag needs stuff in it, but one of them needs to show how it's used, because odds are, a grandparent or a grandfather, a grandfather or grandmother or an aunt that's not an equestrian is trying to buy somebody in their family a gift. And then they pick it up and they're like, oh my gosh, it's got everything in it. They're going to love that. Because don't you love that? I do. Yeah. I love when I get everything and it's already merchandised for me and I don't have to think about it. So I tell stores, do it subtly. You don't need to actually bundle anything and say, okay, this is an offering. Although some of the commodity people
did that actually when we had our tax shop at the early days of the internet. We sold a ton of it on the internet because somebody could go, I'll buy those five items because they come together.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And it's the same thing.
At the holidays especially. Around it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I
especially with your stuff at the holidays. That's even better.
Mine's easy. And I am never offended if it's cross vendor. I don't find that offensive. I like it because I'm never going to make a hoof pick. That's not my thing. I'm never going to make horse cookies. And I'll tell you, it goes back to when the charities, I do a lot of charity work, obviously. A lot of the barns right now are having their events. Business has been really tough for not only the tack and feed stores, but for the barns. It's really tough. So the barns and the tax stores are finding that in talking to them the last month, they're all getting a little bump in business by doing a charity. So when I send them, I donate packages. I merchandise them for them. And I tell them, just lift it out of the box and put it on it. Because somebody's going to want that. And they're going to want the whole thing. And they'll raffle it. They'll do whatever. And so they're getting more savvy about, the barns are even, about presenting these auction things. They're not just laying them out. Look, you could win this. They're having to work at it. And so I actually just, one of the reasons I was late today, I was mentoring one of the big barns in New York. She had taken all, she took all of my bundles together and laid it out because she thought that's how they do it. I said, no, no, no. You're going to put them back in the backpack. You're putting it back in the tack tote. You're merchandising it. I said, I know it's a lot of work, but it's going to help you. In the long run.
You, like with your stuff, I'm looking at it right now, and I see the backpack and the fanny pack and the socks. You know, there's a bundle right there. I mean, as little as three things, but it's a bundle.
It is.
And now I've sold maybe a fanny pack that I wouldn't have sold otherwise at the holidays. Right? They might have bought the backpack and the socks, but now I've added. And we did that online, too, and that's something you can do online. You could have a whole section of gift packs, right? And and that's what I would do. I would put a section of gift packs, and I would have 10 or 15 of them that they can go in. People like horse husbands like me can go in and buy it easily, right?
Yep.
Which I don't have to mix and match because I'm not going to be good at it. And neither is mom or dad or cousin or sister or the non-horse person who's trying to buy the horse person a gift, which is always difficult, right? That's always the hardest. Well, so I wanted to ask you about lighting and smell. Smell's a good one, too, because when I walk in a tack shop, I want to smell leather. Good leather.
I do, too. I want to smell leather. You know what? I am one of those freaks. I like horse smells. Not everybody does. But I'll tell you, in my booth when I show, you know, there's certain things that we, certain smells that we associate with horses, and bathing is one of them. And primarily you bathe horses in rose smells, lavender smells, you know, clean smells. So in my booth, I always, and I do feel like I want to bring the outside into this sterile little booth. I always have my vintage milking jugs, and it has my fabrics tied around the front. I always buy fresh lavender. I cannot always get to the store to buy fresh flowers when I'm in a show. Now, it's different when you own a store. You can go, and I have gone to like Costco and bought their beautiful plants that they already have in a plastic pot that's adorable, and I've decorated with that. But, you know, in January, for me in trade shows, it's a little difficult because you're going to the Midwest. Especially they don't have a lot of flowers.
In Dallas.
Not a lot of flowers. So I started doing lavender because most people like that smell. It smells clean and fresh. It displays well. It's dry. It
smells like what everybody associates with soap. Clean.
It smells clean.
Yeah. Yeah.
It does. And so to me, I think smell is really important. And because I don't do a lot of leather with my product, it's fabric. So I totally agree with you. And I'm so glad you mentioned that because I'm like, one of the gals that travels with me has allergies, and she goes, oh God, we're going to have the lavender. Yes, we are. We're getting fresh lavender from Wisconsin this year.
And, you know, lighting too. We've all been in the stores where lighting hasn't been good throughout the store. Lighting is an investment if you want to do it correctly in your store. And there are people that you can hire to help you do that. There are lighting experts. And it costs money, but you know, if you can't see, you're looking at those racks and you can't see it. I mean, it makes a difference. It makes a difference.
You're absolutely right. And you don't want to go. It's a turnoff for me to go into an older tack and feed store that is stuffed. And I'm going to have to work at this. I'm going to have to go in there and really, you know, check through those racks. And the lights are blinking at me from the top, and it's yellowish, and it makes it look different. So you're taking it outside, and I think that the owners are afraid you're going to make a run for it, but you have to do that. You're right, and that's why it's pretty important that the stores really clean up the mess and not make it look so dark and dank because it's not inviting to shop in. And sometimes it's the lighting. Sometimes it's because they have used every square foot in that store, and they have got merchandise up to the ceiling. And so,
which I kind of like those kind of tech shops, but then you've got to have some lighting in there so I can
you
see.
You better have a lot of light. I know. Yeah. I went into one in Chicago one time, and the owner was absolutely hilarious. She said, "My products have a lot of birthdays." And I, what do you mean?
I don't think that's a good thing, actually.
And she goes, yeah. She goes, I don't do markdowns. She goes, they have a lot of birthdays. They're with me for a while. But she was stuffed. You had to walk sideways. You're trying to try boots on and you're perched like, you know, it's funny, but it's not. I think right. She'd do a much better job if she cleaned out a little bit and made walkways. Yeah, so, it feels a little hoarderish.
So we're coming up in the holidays, and that's one time we're talking about how often to change displays. I believe that we all did change them more often at the holidays. So from, let's say, the beginning of November through the end of December, mm-hmm. we would change them every 2 weeks, not once a month, because right. people do tend to come back when they're holiday Christmas shopping or whatever. You know, they tend to come back more often during that period of time. So we did want to change them out there. I don't know if you agree with that or don't not. Or
I do, and I do. However, okay, I came from apparel and home businesses. You know, human businesses.
Right.
And we always started building our inventories and getting our displays in the fall. One of the shocking things about the equine business for me is I do not see them building their inventories or starting to really make it look like Christmas in there. I don't see that. And I find that odd because to me, and I think it's an education, I think a lot of people that have their own private little tech and feed stores, I'm not talking about the large companies, but the mom and pop shops, they didn't come from traditional backgrounds. They didn't. They came from the horse industry. And I don't think that they realize that this is your opportunity. Usually fourth quarter is the largest quarter for retailers in terms of sales. It's your biggest expense, but it's how you unload a lot of product. And so I'm personally trying to work with my smaller stores to educate them about that they need to build their inventories up and get ready for the holidays, because not only are you getting your regular people that are in there at least once a month, you're going in, and I know the driver is usually hay and alfalfa and, you know, all of that grain. That's usually the driver. And I have charmingly been told that I'm the loss leader. And I was like, loss leader, what does that mean? Well, what it means in the industry is that I'm the draw. So I get people in regularly rather than maybe they come in twice a month. But they may come in to buy hay and grain, but then they'll see my stuff. And that's why it's really important that it's displayed and it's all in stock and it's ready to be sold, because I am their loss leader. They're like, oh, while we're here, we might as well pick up another bag of grain. And that's where most of the tack stores are, at least the tack and feed stores, make their money. So they've got to get in the headset that the holidays are coming. You need to build up and get your loss leaders in there. You've already got all your basics. Get those loss leaders in there and present them correctly, because that is not only going to bring in your regular customer, it brings in the random customer that you maybe only see twice a year or once a year. The people that are not in equine or don't have dogs, or whatever that it is. Horse husbands.
Horse husbands.
Yes. And so they're like, okay, we have to get Belle something for her horse and something for her. And all she cares about is horse. That's all she cares about. So they go in and they're like looking at some of the apparel. That's pretty understandable for them if it's presented correctly. And they're like, oh, we have to buy the horse something too. They'll probably wander off. I just saw a gal in one of the stores, and I was waiting for my manager to finish up. And I see this gal, and she looked a little lost. She was a mom. And I said, oh, you've got some horse cookies there. Where's your horse? And she said, oh, I don't have a horse. It's my daughter. And I was like, oh. And so then you get into a little conversation about it. And she goes, do you have any other ideas? It's her birthday. Can you suggest? And I said, well, you need to buy one of these calendars. So she bought one of those. But then you start talking about it. And if you have the display set up and they see, and to be honest, it's why I've started doing a lot more bags, because they understand a bag.
It's easy. Yeah.
It's easy. It's got pockets. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And if you've got a display, Oh, she'll love that. He'll love that. Yeah. Okay. Let's get that. So I do believe that we need to educate our tack and feed stores about the holidays coming, because you're right. From my perspective, you need to get those displays up. You need to buy and make them look holidayish and make the people that shop regularly think about, oh, I should buy a Christmas present from my friend.
You know, we all whine about, and this is true, right? We all whine about the fact that all the big stores are putting up their Christmas displays already and Halloween's not even over, right?
Yeah.
And we think that's ridiculous, but there is a reason they do it. I mean, they do it because it ingrains in you. I may not buy that Christmas tree or the Christmas lights or whatever today, but I'm seeing that and it's reminding me that when I do buy it, I need to come back to the store.
Yes.
So they're putting it up this early just to get it in your head that when you do go buy that stuff, you buy it with us, not with somebody else. And that's the reason it's done. They're not selling that much of that stuff right now, but they're putting in your head that because it's that valuable, right. They're putting in your head to do it now. So maybe in your tax shop, you're not putting it up this early, but you better have it out by November 1st because as soon as Halloween's done, it better be out there. Okay. So we're going to run out of time, but I have some rapid fire stuff I want to do here at the end. So your answers can only be like 1 or 2 minutes.
Okay.
All right. What's your one visual change that makes an immediate difference in a store? What's that one visual thing that you would say makes the world a difference?
Clean your fixtures.
Because what a pain too.
I know, right? Clean your fixtures and tell a clean story. That's my best advice.
Don't junk it up. Don't clutter it up.
Yep. Don't start, oh, I'm going to put this on it. And, oh, this is even better. Don't do that. Less is more.
One display prop every tack shop should own.
A horse head. A plastic horse head. Hmm. I've had to go and buy them for people and get paid back, but I've had to go buy
them.
They're
not that expensive, are they?
They're like $60.
That's what I thought.
And you can put fly masks on them. You can put halters on them. There's a lot you can do with them.
They fit on top of your racking, you know.
Yep. And buy them in a couple colors. Buy them in a black and a brown because things present differently. Like if you're trying to sell a navy blue halter, it doesn't look so good on black. It looks better on a brown.
Good idea. What's your never again merchandising mistake?
Oh, I thought about that when I read that. I've done so many because I'm very eclectic. And I'm like, let's try this. One of the worst things is I had a bunch of horse blankets and I didn't know how to display them. So
they're hard. They take up a lot of room when you display them.
They take a lot of room, right?
It's hard.
And I didn't know what to do. I needed to show them.
It's the reason Weatherbeater has 12 booths is because it's hard to display those.
Well, and they have those like arms that you put them on. I didn't have those arms and I certainly didn't have that space. So I laid them on the table. I opened them. I wanted people to see because I had all the bells and whistles and I put
They didn't look like horse blankets, did they?
No, it just looked like fabric, a lot of fabric.
And I How do you do it now?
I'm so clever now. Okay. What I started doing is well, first of all, I started carrying an extra small. I only size because I am meant for the tack and feed stores that have no room. I figured out how to make my rain sheets in small, medium, large, extra large, like ready to wear. So, like that's a term in apparel. But I added a size called extra small that fits a large mini small horse. So now I display my blankets in the mini size. And I layer them up the wall. The other thing I started doing is I started doing pictures, canvas transfers. I know that sounds odd, but you can send a picture into these canvas transfer online people and you can get it in any size. So now I have pictures of like horses in blankets out in a field in these beautiful, colorful canvas transfers. That's beautiful. And I put those in displays. Those would be great for stores, canvas transfers, and they're cheap.
I have seen some companies too with large that make just miniature display size, which are really cute. And by the way, do get attention because you're looking at them and saying they're really cute.
Yeah.
And I did see one where they took those little arm racks like you see at Weatherby, right? And yeah, they did the whole display of mini size blankets with that, and it was the cutest thing you ever saw.
I bet it was adorable. And who doesn't love a mini size? Like,
right?
And, you know, and all my prints, I've got all these goofy prints, like a squirrel and
I'm looking at some of them.
And bees, and they're about this big, and we put them on.
I like the flying frogs too, by the way.
Oh, and I love my, which bring good luck, by the way. We put them on a pole, and then we put string, and my friend layers them up the wall. It like shows. It's the best way to display, along with the pictures, because people, especially equestrians, they are not visual people. You have to show them. And so my pictures, I put up this one big one, and it's a mini horse and a huge big warm blood. And they're turning in this range, and they have the same rain sheet on. So you see this, and you see them turning. It stops people. They walk by, and they're like, oh, my God, that's adorable. And I don't care what equitation you do. I don't care if it's Western or English. In fact, I had a barrel racer who Sophia knows. She's an influencer. Stop. And she was like, do you think that would fit my horses? And I said, there you go. Show me your pictures. Yes, it'll fit. Yeah.
All right. One thing, one detail that they could change today that would make a world of difference. And we'll end on that.
Create aisleways. Oh, I'm going to give you two. Create aisleways, because I know you've got a lot of stuff, but you can't have people walking sideways in your store. And it's hard to get from the front to the back. And it's bad feng shui. Do that, but also try and tell some stories. Even if it's only at random, try and tell a story, whether it's a bee or it's, I don't care what the story is. Whatever the story is, try and make a story, because this, we're in the industry of telling stories, and people are always learning. They may think they know it all, but they're always learning. And we, tack and feed stores, is where they're learning that. So that's what I would say.
And where can they find you?
They can find me on Mackie USA. I'm on Facebook and Instagram under Mackie USA. And, you know, I would appreciate any feedback from people. I love messages. And a lot of the buyers from these stores, they contact me and they have a vision of something. And if I think it's something I can sell, I'll give it a shot. I'm sampling up a PVC cabochon right now. Some big barn thinks that she can sell these. So if I think I can sell it and I can do it safely and it's a good product and I can deliver it at a price, I'll do it. But you got to be able to get the quantities. That's the other thing. Right. So,
well, very good. Thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it. We're here almost every week, and it's the WESA Retail Roundup. I will put the audio version of this on the podcast feed, which is Wisdom by WESA. And if you haven't checked out were you on the podcast before?
I have been.
Oh, okay.
And I'm sure you're going to have to edit me. A lot.
If you haven't checked that out, go check it out. Actually, my wife hosts that along with other hosts. So check that out on Wisdom by WESA, the podcast feed. And also, you can check out their website at wesatradeshow.com. And you can check out our YouTube channel. Just look for WESA Trade Show. The next Retail Roundup will be released next week. And you can stay up to date on all of it by searching Retail Roundup on Facebook and joining the group over there. Thank you so much, Megan. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. You have a good day.